Montgomery County is? Good day. Oh, people from Dayton can't answer. Dayton, Ohio, first in flight, first in fight when it comes to beating Republicans.
That's good.
And I want to be your next Ohio trader. But I want to tell you a little bit about myself.
Yeah,
Willie,
here you go.
Okay.
I'm actually the fourth. I'm not the fourth, but there are four Hugh Quills. And the second Hugh Quill was someone that I respect and admire so much. It was my father. And he had an awful lot to do with why I am a Democrat. And it had an awful lot to do with my work ethic. You see, he was 12 years old in 1928 when he lost his father. And that very same year, he came down with polio. And being the oldest child, he was still forced to lead his family through the Great Depression and help my grandmother through. Some of my most vivid recollections as a child are listening to my father strap on a brace on his leg and work his way slowly down the driveway to pick up his carpool ride to International Harvester every day. He taught me so much about being a Democrat. He taught me so much about fighting. And fighting is something we've got to do this year. We must fight for the future of Ohio as a tax collector, as the evil tax collector in Montgomery County. I see the worst of it all. I hear the stories. The seniors that are forced to choose between medication and preserving their homes. They have their homes paid off but can't afford their property taxes. I see predatory lending driving people out of their homes. I see property flipping destroying our neighborhoods. Montgomery County is an interesting county because it demographically it performs and looks a lot electorally like the state of Ohio. It's a very, very competitive county. And in the 1990s, when state candidates, well, when we came close to not qualifying as a major candidate, as a major party in this state, 1994, was my first appearance on the ballot. It was a competitive, hard-fought race where I was outspent but never outworked. There was another race like that in 1996. So during the 90s, when we were losing everything in sight and Ohio was losing its way, in Montgomery County, we were winning elections. Democrats were winning elections. And that's one of the reasons I took a hard look at the race for Ohio Treasurer this year. I've been Treasurer there for 12 years. And, you know, I think that we've come up with a model in Montgomery County in terms of fiscal accountability and management that Ohio would do well to follow. And I'm prepared to put my name forward for that. We are at the crossroads here, ladies and gentlemen. We have an epic opportunity, and we have Republican office holders who have treated constitutional offices like musical chairs with a commitment only to further their own personal ambitions and not protect and invest on behalf of Ohioans. I'm prepared to take the fight to them this year. I'm prepared to win. I'm prepared to close the deal for you. Because in Montgomery County, that's what we've done. A little background on those two races in the mid-90s that were very competitive. The reason I had two competitive races in the mid-90s was because I had the absolute temerity to competitively bid my banking services and investment contracts. It angered bankers, it angered brokers that, you know, were working on a cozy basis for many, many years all over the state, and they poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into my opponent's coffers. I'll tell you what it taught me, what those two races taught me, was that people will trust you if you put in place business operations that benefit them and not the bankers and the brokers and the special interests. They respond. There was at one point in the 1996 race where I had to pull my staff together because we were getting bludgeoned on TV for taking money out of the county, allegedly, investing in another bank that happened to have a better rate. And the staff was concerned, obviously, about their livelihoods. I had to look them in the eye, every single one of them, and tell them, you got to trust the voters. The voters will respond. You tell them why you did it. You tell them you're operating in their best interest. Voters will respond. You must trust the voters. We saw that in 2004. We trusted a lot of folks in 2004. We thought we had it. We came up a little short down along the river. We must continue to trust voters, though. We can't lose faith. Now, let me tell you about the model that we have at Montgomery County, why I think it'll work for the state of Ohio Treasury. I'm a big believer in competition. I think the competition, even in primaries, this can be a healthy thing. It leads to a great dialogue, and especially when you're letting contracts for banking services and investment contracts as well. You've got to force bankers and brokers to compete against each other for taxpayers to get the best deal. That's fundamental. That's something I stand for. That's what led to my tough races. I think that's what led to my victories as well in the mid-1990s. The second thing that we do is we protect your investment. Not one single dime, not one single nickel has ever been lost of principal in Montgomery County. We have invested safely. We've never touched a Beanie Baby or a rare coin. And over the course of these 12 years that I've been treasurer in Montgomery County, we have earned over $250 million for the taxpayers of Montgomery County safely. We've done it without losing a wink of sleep at night. And frankly, I couldn't tell you one of the brokers that does business with our office. We have firewalled off that process so well. We have investment advisors and I have a finance director that handles that. You know, we don't ring them for financial donations and contributions. We don't expect it. And I'll tell you what I've been telling every banker in the state of Ohio. You back this candidacy and you're backing a process. You come with a sharpened pencil. You come with that sharpened pencil and you'll earn some state business, but you're going to earn it. You are going to earn that business. The third thing we tried to do with our portfolio, and it's a $500 million portfolio in Montgomery County. The third thing we've tried to do is to leverage it. We put it to work in the model of Mary Ellen Withrow's linked deposit program, put it to work to create jobs and to develop housing strategically that's consistent with Dayton's strategic plan and Montgomery County's strategic plan. It's very collaborative. I brought the bankers in to help craft the program because really they have to bring their customers to the table. And in spite of the fact that they spent $750,000 trying to beat me in the mid-90s, they came to the table. They had a vested interest in the buy down in offering the best interest rate to their customers. So we created over 1,000 jobs and also developed over 1,500 housing units in Montgomery County without risking a dime. You know, we didn't risk any of our capital at all. The banks took all the risk. It was novel. It was novel when Mary Ellen Withrow came up with it, and our application, I believe, is notable and novel as well. It's the same kind of thinking and the same kind of leveraging that has to happen at the state of Ohio. You know, if everyone is to get the maximum return on the investment of their state dollars, and I'm committed to that. Really, the last hallmark of our administration at the Treasurer's Office is accountability. I came up with something called the Delinquent Dozen in the mid-90s, where some people call it the Dirty Dozen. It's not the unwashed. It's just the behind in their taxes people. And I'll tell you what, we created a culture of non-acceptance of non-payment of your taxes, and one of which became part of the culture. You know, folks that maybe owed a few $100s that would come to us, you know, and you had to owe tens of thousands of dollars to get on the delinquent dozen in our county. But, you know, regularly people would come into the office, I don't want to be on that list. You know, we'd be taking the silver out of their pockets and just to make sure that they didn't get that publicity. This year we took it to another level. And we implemented a tax lien sale that generated over $50 million over proceeds the previous year and $9 million at the actual sale itself. And what we found were people out there that had expected government to be slow and non-responsive and not agile. They expected that, so they didn't pay their taxes. They expected it to take 2 or 3 years to foreclose on a piece of property. Once we said we were going to sell a tax lien, They lined up. We had 8,000 parcels paid in full between August and November. Usually in the treasurer's office, after your due date in July, you don't get enough people in to get a poker game together. Right? 8,000 people came and paid in full. It was amazing. And it was just a change of the culture. Obviously, that's what we need in the state of Ohio at so many different levels, and certainly at the Treasury level. Now, one of probably the most rewarding experiences over the last 12 years that I've had has been the honor and the privilege to lead the County Treasurers Association of Ohio. And I went through all of the chairs. I went through the chairs at a time when the state of Ohio was in desperate straits in terms of its investment policies. Cuyahoga County lost $100 million on leveraging their portfolio in a bad way and investing in derivatives. I was part of the team that crafted the legislative remedies that tightened the standards for investment instruments that are allowable for the counties. I also helped mandate, through my work on the legislative committee, continuing education requirements for our county treasurers. We thought that was important. We felt people needed the confidence to have confidence in their fiscal officers in the county. Now, through this time, you know, I was able to first, you know, make an awful lot of friends and relationships and create a lot of relationships with other county treasurers. That's been very, very important to me, and it's also been useful to me from a continuing education standpoint as well. It's really been the most rewarding aspect of my tenure in Montgomery County as the treasurer is associating with these folks. And through that association, I have had the encouragement and the formal endorsement of 30 county treasurers, ranging from Lorain County down to Scioto County. Now, I think that's notable not just because people like me, or those people like me. I think it's notable because they've had an opportunity to take a look at me for 12 years and look at my values and look at my collaborative skills and look at my focus. And they feel that I can make a difference in the state of Ohio. And that means your vote in this room means an awful lot to me, but their vote means an incredible amount to me because they've seen me in the trenches. So, you know, what we have before us today is an opportunity to start a dialogue in a primary process. What I bring to the table, I just think, is credibility. I think that's something that no treasurer in the last 12 years has had, that of the Republican ilk. They have used these offices for their own personal ambitions, and we all know that. And we all know that it's up to us to make sure that when Star Ohio is making investments, Star Ohio is the pool that Brian talked about, the smaller counties in particular use for their overnight investments. When you're selling state business to brokers, like the previous Republican state treasurer did, when you're doing that, what you're doing is you're hurting the return for all the smaller counties that don't have the resources to have a finance director like Montgomery County has, like Franklin County has, like Cuyahoga County has. It doesn't have that expertise. That's why it's so very important for the state treasurer to be focused on process and for the state treasurer to be operating exclusively for the benefit of all of those taxpayers out there that can't be defended at the higher levels of government and that are struggling. And we all know that they're struggling. Well, I just want to leave you with this thought. If you trust me and honor me with the nomination for Ohio Treasurer this year, I promise you I will close the deal for you in November, and I will hold these people like I hold taxpayers in Montgomery County accountable. I will hold the Republicans in the state of Ohio accountable for what they've done to this great state, and I will work to draw upon the greatest resources of Ohio, and that is its people, to make sure that the work we get on the right track again. I thank you very much. Yes, sir.
I'm not exactly certain what the treasurer, what their role would be to playing in this.
but assuming that there is a role, what is your stance regarding giving state funds to faith-based initiatives?
Well, unless the faith-based initiatives are offering investment tools that are consistent with the Ohio investment policy, I think it's a moot point.
Okay.
And certainly I wouldn't, out of hand, instinctively I would say no. I think we're looking for safety, liquidity, and return, and not getting closer to God with our investments. Generally, and we didn't do the delinquent dozen this year because we had such great success with our tax lien program that we had such great publicity, and we did. I think my staff and one of them is here today, Paul Robinson, who's active in our local group. We did such a great job of creating that culture of compliance that we were looking for that I didn't feel the need to do the delinquent dozen this year. But in the past, we collected well over 1.3 million, I believe, from delinquent dozen listees, and mostly they were commercial. A lot of times they were commercial properties like apartments where people were taking rent money from people and not paying their taxes with it. And we're working now with Dayton Metropolitan Housing to try and come up with a program toward that end of making sure that people don't take Section 8 housing money, federal subsidies, from the government, and then also take rents from people, and then don't pay their real estate taxes and don't support their schools. And that's exactly what it is, and that's what we want to make sure that we're coordinating and communicating between the city of Dayton and Montgomery County, and also we're trying to roll in housing inspections, too, to make sure the quality of life issues in the neighborhoods are protected. So we're trying to do all that we can do within the code, and a few things past the code that we can do in terms of communications and collaborations with local governments to preserve our neighborhoods. And the delinquent dozen is a lot about, it was an awful lot about not just shaming people, although that was probably the net effect of it. It was really more about fairness and accountability and saying, hey, listen, Margaret, makes 20 grand a year on Social Security or whatever fixed income she has, and she's paying her taxes. Why isn't the guy that's pulling down 100 G's, why is he working the system? We wanted to make sure that, and people responded in that way, too. If I'm paying mine, he should pay his.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
We've heard a couple of candidates today talk about the process, the burden of property taxes. Mm-hmm. And some of the elderly and fixed income who are on Social Security have their houses paid for, and
sure,
have them foreclosed for property taxes. As treasurer, you should be, I think, dedicated to collecting those taxes. How do you reconcile the two?
Well, obviously, it's a statutory responsibility to collect the taxes, and constitutionally, obviously, it's been found four times unconstitutional the manner in which we fund our school systems. And we all know that when you overly rely on property taxes, there are inherent inequities in how those funds are distributed. And really, I think the baseline is this. If the taxes are on the rolls, until the state legislature, until we have a governor that follows the law and uses the bully pulpit to drive the legislature, if we need be, to changing this and going to a more broad-based, mixed blend of taxes to support schools, we're going to collect what we have to do. We're going to collect those taxes and support the schools. And I looked several delinquent taxpayers in the eye during this tax lien process and said, listen, Sport, when you go $100,000 in unpaid taxes, you're basically walking into the City of Dayton School District and asking them for a loan. And these kids are using textbooks that aren't up to date. their facilities aren't not yet up to date as well. We're not giving these kids a chance. And you know, I got a 14-year-old girl and I've got a 16-year-old boy, and I got a little skin in this game right now. Okay, and it's most important that we prepare all these kids to succeed. You know, not to flip burgers in the next century. So I'm going to collect the taxes that are out there. As a state, as an elected state office holder, I will use the bully pulpit and I will scream at the top of my lungs to make this a lawful state once again in terms of school funding and respect our seniors, okay, and not drive our seniors out of their homes and respect the chances that every kid deserves, regardless of their zip code in the state. Thank you.